Number one sister, dust for Prince.
I found Prince!
No, 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 fingerprints.
I don't think so.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And you're listening to the Larry's Birthday Edition, because it's my birthday and no one else's birthday. Ryan Timothy Brace, fuck you.
It's not your birthday. We are recording this
podcast July 9th, 2015, and it is our ultimate international fan, Ryan Timothy Brace's Canadian birthday. So, what's that in American years?
He's turning 28.
Right, but in American years.
It's worth 40? A lot less. No, it's worth a lot less in America. So he's 27.
Well, I am virtually going to get you a cool present.
If it wasn't his birthday, he would...
Yeah. I don't buy anything for anyone else on my birthday, even though my birthday was 2 days ago. You think you're special. Thank you. Thank you very much. But RTB man, shout out. I hope you have a maple... birthday cake.
What?
And some bacon and some beer with mousse on it.
Poutine.
Eat some poutine.
That too.
We're happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Three topics. Topic number one is, what is your favorite final performance? For example, an actor's final film or band's farewell tour. Topic number two is, if you had no other outside influence, with the only influence coming from your parents, what type of person would you be now? And topic number three, what are you saving money for?
Oh, fuck. It's none of your fucking business.
Yeah. No, I want to know.
And we are pleased as much to have back on the podcast, after over a year, this is two in a row, personal friends of Comedia Gogo, ride or die niggas in the house. The realist, we reference him all the time on the podcast, see him big, slap him down. Our friend Paul Hernandez. How's it going, Paul?
What's going on, you?
What the fuck is up, dude?
Not much.
Smashing ass and saving gas, like always. This is a good one.
Smashing ass and saving on gas. Yeah, my foot.
Get these chick to fucking give you a ride, man.
No, it's the other way around. It's getting ass for gas, I think.
Yeah. How's it going, dude?
Going good.
What's new in the life of Paul? Are you really into Twilight? Have you read those books, seen those movies, man? I heard they're pretty good.
That he would be into Twilight.
Well, oddly enough, Twilight does have a lot of entertainment and funny values as far as like taking shit out of context and ruining for people. Especially the second one that has, remember that that hot dog commercial with the whole like hunger get what hunger want? There is a legitimate scene in there that could be referenced to that fucking hot dog commercial. And the third movie straight up has Eat That Shit, where whenever Bella gives birth to that vampire or whatever, it has a vampire cerebellum, and it can't be given birth to normally, so Edward has to tear it open with his teeth. But the way the camera angle is, it just straight up looks like he's eating out Bella the whole time. So when I was playing in the theaters, it was just, eat that shit. I don't know how many chicks hated that. Like, they straight up just hated it when
they're
I was
all
seeing.
In love with him that he's eating his chick's uterine walls.
Yeah.
And eat that shit. Eat it, Edward.
It's the most metal thing ever.
Yeah. See, everyone's saying Twilight's for pussies, dude. It's metal as fuck, dude. Yeah. Eat my shit.
Well, you know.
Fucking Twilight, dude. So, Paulo got me a badass birthday card. It had a donkey on it, and it said, "Hope your birthday's redonkulous." And he did the most metal thing ever and didn't fucking sign it at all.
It's a blank card.
That's a blank card.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
Which is fucking awesome.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, because that means I'm going to give it to somebody like, hey, man, happy birthday. And I'm not going to fucking sign it. So we'll see how far this card will
travel.
But
you'll never know because it's blank.
I'll put an asterisk on it or something. And then, total metal. Mexican move got me a fucking scratch off.
Yes.
With the potential to win $100,000. So you potentially got me a $100,000 gift, and I appreciate that very much.
It's the gift of Chancellor. It's the gift of Chancellor.
But what did you get?
Jack shit.
Shit, yeah.
I got $0.
That's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah. $0.
That's why it's ridiculous.
So we're fucking so stoked to have you on the podcast.
Real quick,
Paul.
We call them scratchers. I guess what other regions call them scratchers? Is the Valley they call them scratchers?
Scratchers.
Scratch offs. Where are you from? Was it
Salazar or fucking Orta that calls them scratchers?
Scratchers, yeah. Salazar called them scratchers, which is a South Texas thing. Well, this is a Texas lottery thing.
That'd be an interesting question. Yeah, what do you call scratch off
lottery ticket.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah.
So, Ryan Timothy Brace, in Canada, do you guys have.
Yes.
They have
money?
Oh.
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Ever left the country, Paul?
No, actually, I haven't.
You ever left the state?
Yes.
Where?
Let's see. I went to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. You lived in Pittsburgh for a while.
Yeah, I went to school up there.
The Slaw, huh? Can't handle the Slaw?
The Permani brothers.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. That was like the most overrated thing ever.
So I heard that when you're there and you ask for something different, they give you a hard time. Is that true?
I had that experience. I went in there and they said the same thing. They were like, here's the sandwich. And I'm like, I don't want slaw on it. I'm like, well, that's how it is. So I got a bunch of like terrible stares because I was over there knocking off the slaw from the sandwich. I didn't give a fuck. I was just hungry.
I know you don't. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, outside the slaw, it's pretty good. But I mean, up there, I mean, it's a different level of hateful people, which is even more different.
What's they're all blue-collar people, right?
No, it's straight up that New York thing where they have that, it's that that Brooklyn kind of like alley vibe.
Get out of my way attitude.
Yeah, dock worker. Not blue-collar.
Steel worker, right?
Yeah.
Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Very, very good. Very good.
Thanks, man.
Is that still a team?
Yes. It's a football team.
Well, I just forget, you know, Dolphins, Oilers.
Black and yellow.
Steelers.
The Dolphins are still a thing, right?
Yes, Dolphins.
Dolphins still exist, yeah.
Yeah. The Canada has the Blue Jays.
Because of the Oilers.
Yes.
They have the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
They have the Raptors.
Yes.
They don't have the Grizzlies anymore.
No, they're in Memphis.
Yeah.
We have
fuckers.
And we have the Rampage, funny enough.
Yeah.
And no football team.
Nope. But Canada, they have Canada.
Shut up.
They have a football team?
The rugby team, yeah.
Do they have a football team?
The food
team. They have like a football team.
There's like Canadian football, right?
No, yeah, there's the CFL, the Canadian Football League. Yeah.
That's weird.
Oh, there is? Like American football?
Yeah, man. Real football?
Yeah, it's just the Canada League. Yeah.
Well, because football's soccer everywhere else.
No, it's Canadian football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like real shit.
I call it American shit. Football like a Spanish class, but you're like real football.
Football Americano.
Football Americano.
Whatever, dude. Note the banus, dude. That's all I got from Spanish class. Just kept laughing about it. I don't know what it means, but don't penis.
Canada.
So, Paul, we're happy that we're going to get your fucking perspective on life.
Here we go again.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be... It's going to be a lot of fun, man. And if you have any complaints of what Paul says, email at...
Nowhere.
Yeah, nowhere. Off the grid at nowheretobefound.net.
He's the Jack Reacher of our friends.
Actually, I do have a website. Not, I have a Yahoo account, but that's... So,
you check it?
Yeah.
All right, motherfucker.
Well, because you actually...
You need it for your email grinder.
Yeah, you need... Yeah, emails for just
grinder.
About...
grinder!
Oh, wait, that's gay. Tinder.
Yeah, you need an email to leave Pornhub comments. I also can't type in, I like the way she fucks.
Do you leave Pornhub comments?
No, I don't... Wait, what?
Who does, though?
No, I have a fashion... There's a Twitter account. It's... fucking hilarious. Yeah. It's Pornhub comments. It's at Pornhub comments. It's stock photos of dudes at a computer, like normal stock photos of dudes at a computer, and they take the comments and put it on them. And it'll be like this, like, white dude in a casual like shirt, and he'll be like, "Yeah, I like the way she rides his cock." But this is really funny, like stock picture, but like some of them don't make any sense. And one of them was actually asking, like, "Don't forget to put money toward the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter."
Wow,
no bullshit.
Awesome.
No bullshit. I couldn't stop. Awesome. I was laughing so hard. I was like, "Oh, that guy's passionate."
At Pornhub.
He's like, I'm gonna go where the people are. Pornhub.
Get That's spread, where the gamers
spread
are.
Spread the word. Spread the Shenmue 3 word.
Oh, yeah. It was probably on, like, London James's fucking, like, what nerdy ass, like, Olivia Munn upskirts fucking Pornhub videos that these dorks are on. And then, oh, yeah, after I nut, let me fucking donate to
What's
your
name? China's She-Hulk.
Oh, God. This dude's shit.
What?
Yeah, the
she
China,
did a sequel did, to her to her She-Hulk thing.
Oh, China the wrestler.
Yeah, China the wrestler. Oh, wrestler. Yes.
Dude. But your porn, Paul, that you enjoy is like an anime girl with
something of it.
With eight giant tits, and she is a cow?
No, it's a picture I have on my wall. It's a giant fat cow chick with four tits.
Yeah, dude.
That's my conversation piece when you walk into my apartment. You get that whole, like, "That's a nice place." Every fucking time that happens.
So, you introduced me to a world, Paul, that I have never known. You know, I was a lonely Southside kid hanging out with all these cool new friends that I made at SAC. And when Jess introduced me to you, we started hanging out. We hit it off pretty well. And you showed me this book that you owned, which was a manga.
Yes.
Okay. A manga.
Yes.
Of a really charming story of...
It is.
The horse
thing. No,
that's where we're going.
It was a hentai.
Of
what
a young blonde girl and her relationship with a horse.
But that's not what it, that was just a, that's an off, to be fair, it was an offshoot.
Was it though?
Yeah, the comic. You're making it sound like the manga is all about this chicken or horse. It was more like
what was it? Let him explain his art.
Oh, no, my art.
Sorry, yeah.
What? Yeah. No, just the story itself is mostly about the same story in every hentai, is that same lucky douchebag that just happens to have that perfect smile, and then it doesn't matter what it is, it's just like, "Hey, you're all right. Oh, I'm stupid and lonely. Oh, well, we should fuck." Yeah, we should fuck. And then...
And he has a nice dick, too.
Yeah. It goes from there, and oddly enough, he runs into... a girl who has a growth problem, the reverse of a pituitary problem, where her tits just keep growing.
Yeah.
And she's overly self-conscious about this to where she's 100% shut in.
Tough life.
Yeah. And yeah, one of the things is he imagines he walks in on her while having sex with a centaur almost.
It's
one of those things, but...
So that's okay.
But... when you go back and read what he was supposed to have seen, it's the fact that she's so lonely and so closeted and so self-conscious that she lives a very high lifestyle. Conveniently enough, her parents are very, very rich.
Of course.
So they own a ranch. So she overly loves these horses, to where one of the things, if you own horses, is you're supposed to make sure they seminate a lot. Otherwise, it's bad for them, especially for the studs.
Yeah.
And yeah, she takes that to another level. That's basically...
Wait, so she really does it?
Yeah, she really does get boned by a horse, and he has an O face, which is what I remember.
Oh, that's what that thing, yes! I was trying to remember, the horse has this embarrassed anime face, which I thought was fucking hilarious
but
when I saw it. It was so fucking funny.
The minutes that it took the artist to draw that cell... Of the face. Horse's face. Like,
yeah,
he's trying horse cocks, and yeah, just a big long cock.
But these
cock.
Are hentai artists, Larry. These guys do this on a dime. This is nothing. This is from Japan, the land of porn, where it doesn't matter what it is, they've found a way to fuck it. This is the country that invented coming on a girl's eyeball, for fuck's sake. That became a meme over there before memes were memes.
Thanks, Japan.
Yeah.
Japan. Whatever it is, they'll find a way to fuck it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jess loved getting lost in Japan.
I loved getting lost in Japan.
He told this beautiful story about it. But now all I'm picturing is him walking down the Japanese countryside and there being maybe an ear of corn, maybe a rice field, right? And then this big just, you know, externalized god creature just fucks the land.
Well, let me break this stigma.
Like, what's going on?
Let me break the stigma of like pornography in Japan. Like pornography in Japan is really, like Paul said, weird, and it has its. But like people see the pictures of like the panty machine.
Yeah, you saw like those, right?
No, but that's only like in. It's like
in closeted areas.
But they're in closeted. They make it like people seem like it's out there everywhere. Were it's not like everybody censored? Is reading porn in the streets. Like I went to a bookstore. Where they had the classic, it's the equivalent of the beaded curtain.
Yeah.
Where you walk to the dirty section. So I went in a bookstore and it was the same fucking thing where it wasn't porn everywhere. You had to go through the beaded curtain and get looked at like a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, and then go in there and then you could see all the shit and you're like, all right, cool, I've had my fill.
And was there dudes in there?
Yeah, there's a dude in there, and just like a regular porn store, he's in there going like, oh fuck, I'm not here by myself. And then he's trying to not look as much of a deviant. Like that's the whole in adult stores. I think that's the thing when people go into adult stores.
I don't know. I've never been.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So when you're in an adult store, everyone looks like.
I'll tell you about it.
Everyone doesn't want people to know that they're an adult store,
but
so they.
Paul's not like that.
I know, but there's a percentage where it's like you go in there and you look to follow.
There's rules.
There are rules.
What are the rules?
You don't. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, there are like the two primary rules. If you go to an adult bookstore. They still have adult bookstores, books. Who reads that shit anymore?
Yeah, what a fucking pussy.
But yeah, like if you went into like an adult place to actually get adult material and you went with friends, rule one is you don't see your friends until you're leaving. Nothing's more embarrassing than finding out what you're into by your friends.
Interesting. Okay.
That's all one of those like, likes this shit that's going on Facebook later. So yeah, there's that.
Yeah, coming beef, man.
Oh yeah, tickle porn.
A pizza.
Tickle porn.
Yeah. Oh, who's that?
Well, it's funny. Like, remember one time a section it had a section that was labeled. It said tickle porn, but there was only like two videos in this empty shelf, which I was laughing so hard at, and it was so funny. And they were both like European, and they were clamshell video cases. They were old. And they both had a similar picture of like a dude like tied up to a bed, and then it's like a chick in a French corset tickling.
Oh, the chick's tickling the dude?
Yeah.
That's not cute. What's rule number two?
Rule number two is if you go to a porn store with your significant other, make sure you bring her friends. It ramps up the experience times a billion, especially if you're an asshole, because you start laughing at shit you never thought would have been funny, and you actually find irony in shit that. Ordinarily, you wouldn't think anything of it, like Gillette commercials, the razors.
Yeah.
You see that shit all the time. You're like, oh, who the fuck would like buy this ostentatious shit? You go to a porn store, has the exact same setup, but it's for fleshlights. Exact same kind of quality projection where they're like, and now this display can do this model. And it actually has this self-cleaning system with the HD quality
they have
and everything.
Self-clean system?
Yes. And it's one of those things where
you don't have to tube them. What is it called?
Tune them.
You know no. All like tubas and trumpets. What are the things called?
Spit valve.
You don't cum valve the fleshlights.
They open up.
Hey, yeah.
I never thought about that. Yeah. Can I Google? Is that a Yahoo question thing?
Do you have to? Is there a cum valve?
Do flashlights have cum valves?
There we go.
Like Yahoo question there?
We've hit the point.
That must be the most demeaning, if they don't, like, point of any man's life who's getting off.
No, they're supposed
on a
to be. I thought the whole thing was that they're made of silicones, they're easy to wash, you wash them out. I think that's what the whole thing was.
Yeah,
why would you wash
models?
Your. I guess in a sink.
Well, these new models, they actually open up and you can actually wash out and everything. But the
shower.
Well, and then
dishwasher.
There's the whole dildos and dishwashers.
No, yes, who uses a fucking dishwasher, Larry?
I use my dishwasher.
Safe.
Why? I wouldn't put a fleshlight. I wouldn't use a fleshlight.
That's been like stories. Like, that's like a fucking. Like
urban legend?
Not urban legends, but that's like a Dear Abby type of story. I'm embarrassed because. I had guests over and I forgot to take the dildos out of the dishwasher. Like a genuine, like. Like the whatever, dear. The
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby. Like whatever. What was her name? Dr. Ruth. Yeah, like a Ruth type of thing. What do I do?
See, I thought rule number one when going to an adult novel store paperback bookstore was that you can look and you can go to the sections that you like, you laugh and joke, and then you have that time frame where it gets awkward because then everyone's all serious for a few minutes.
Is it really trying to like buy shit?
Look at it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But but that rule is that you don't touch. You don't like
touch your friends.
You don't touch your friends.
No, like, that's way too. That's more. Like an
I couldn't do it.
I'm not saying touch your friends.
If I was
but
ever in an adult novelty store, hypothetically,
okay.
And it was like me, you, and Jess, hypothetically, in an adult bookstore that's now closed down off Broadway.
Off of Boston Highway.
Boston Highway.
Oh, right. Man. Okay, yeah.
The titty twister.
I wouldn't touch you guys or let you guys touch me because I forgot somebody patted me on the back in this hypothetical situation. And I was like, no, don't touch me because you're kind of turned on.
Yeah.
And then to have your friend touch you is the worst. It's like having your friend send a boner pic to you. Don't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I don't get turned on in the establishment. It's mostly just because I'm serious in there. I'm like, okay, is what I know what
it's
I
all
want.
Business.
Yeah. But spending money.
Paul goes in there the way that I go into Walmart if I need like
light bulbs or something.
I need light bulbs. Let me go run into Walmart. Fucking Paul's like, oh, dude, I need some new fat porn.
Fat flaps. I like it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you're my hero. Let there be lunch. Anytime I see those boards,
let there be lunch.
That's a real one.
Yeah. Let there be
that
light.
In a hypothetical situation would mean we're hypothetically at a porn
star. Why are you so afraid to say that you've been to an adult?
I'm not afraid of anything. I'd fucking admit it if it happened. It just didn't happen. So with me and
not even for college research.
No,
we did it for a class.
Hypothetically.
Why are we saying it's hypothetical?
Allegedly.
It was research.
So there was this porn.
We had to meet Jill Kelly.
In this fantasy situation.
We have photo evidence. Yeah,
I think Andy destroyed that.
God, that sucks.
It was autographed too, man.
That really sucks.
Interviewed Jill Kelly.
Yeah.
Research.
For teledildonics.
Yeah, that sucks.
You ever heard of teledildonics?
Well, it's called something different now, but yeah.
It's a DVD. It's like a fleshlight, but it's attached to the DVD player, and it's like a woman's mouth. And it's like BJ POV videos.
And however she moves.
And however the
device
moves
on you. So if she slows it down, it slows down. If she goes faster, it goes faster.
So Skynet goes live and nude.
There's like 20 dudes running on the street. Ah! Like with this robot just chomping on their asshole.
They've been Terminatrix.
Their asshole?
Well, everyone's got different things.
Yeah. Jess, come on, man. I returned the porn that we were required to buy to get her autograph. Returning porn's awesome. Oh, in this fantasy situation that I would never really do.
Because did you open it?
Watched it.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I had to check it out when we bought it.
Stores now aren't anything like that anymore. They're all toys.
I have honestly, I haven't been to a porn store in a decade, hypothetically.
I was there about 3 years ago.
Since Blu-rays and DVDs.
Since you can get it on your phone.
Yeah.
No like, point why the to fuck it now. Would you? Like,
well, it's toys. Yeah. What used to be the porn section in the old stores was 80%.
Yeah.
And maybe 5% of the out there, the buy, and then there was the toys. Now the toys have become the 80%.
It has to be because no one's buying.
You can get a Barack Obama dildo.
Exactly. They sell the novelties or the toys. No. The videos don't sell as much. They sell all the accoutrements, you know.
Yeah.
Like, who buys, like...
Sex croutons?
Sex
is that
croutons?
A band?
I don't know.
Accoutrements or whatever you call it.
Sex croutons.
It's accoutrements.
Tubes and lubes. I mean, all the...
Sex croutons.
Yeah.
Sex croutons.
Tubes and lubes?
Yeah. But that was where I actually found the funniest sex toy name I think I've ever heard in my life.
And Boom Broom?
No. This is one of those things that actually deserves like an actual like big stadium roar voice saying it. It's actually called the Accommodator.
The Accommodator.
It's actually straight up called the Accommodator. And what
the
it
Accommodator
is...
Accommodator 64?
Well, no. Like, the actual design of this thing is like, wow. Who came up with this? It's a satin piece of silk, and it's bolted to a dildo that has a mouth guard that you put in your mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you basically headbang a chick to orgasm, but it's called the Accommodator.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
The Accommodator. Mouth dildo.
Yeah. It's one of those.
There's like guys were down to two names, the Accommodator and mouth dildo.
Let's go Accommodator.
Let's go Accommodator.
Yeah. That was one of those like.
Was it a hypothetical time we went? We were looking for a fist?
Hypothetically, yeah.
Yeah, hypothetically, right. Yeah. I think we were looking for, yes. We were hypothetically looking for the most outrageous
sex toy
well, within our budget.
Well, because
that's true within our budget.
Because one of the hypothetical times that I went into an adult video,
yeah.
Not a Megaplex, they had a rubber fist, and me being the practical man that I hypothetically was at the time, I rhetorically asked, "Why get a fist? Why not just get a fucking 24-inch?" Penis. Why would you purchase a fist?
You're rhetorically asking this.
Yeah.
Out loud. Hypothetically.
I said hypothetically.
It was next to the womb broom in my fantasy of being in an adult video store. Yeah.
Sometimes you need a fist.
That was the clerk's answer?
Because I don't know if you...
He's like,
sometimes you need a fist.
Sometimes you got a raise, dude.
Yeah. Style.
It's the size of a fist.
So you could say...
Gone fisting.
Got it. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
What happened? We were talking about Japan a second ago.
That's what happens. He goes in that direction.
Japan.
Yeah.
About Japan. Well, when you talk about Japan with Paul, we're talking about equestrian sex, dude. Vertical dirt.
Yeah, if you talk about anybody about Japan, you think about robots.
Yep.
Anime and like tentacle porn. Like it's like weird porn.
Specifically,
not sushi. Porn. Right, nope. Not World War II.
Technology,
robots,
right. Geishas.
Well, technology goes into robots.
Yeah, all right,
yeah. So
geishas, Pokemon? old school tentacle porn is geishas. This is weird.
Yeah, dude, geishas. Right, Timothy Brace.
What?
So big girls.
Yes.
Big ladies.
Fat chicks.
You know how people have shirts that say "no fat chicks."
Mm-hmm.
Paul has shirts that's
all fat chicks
that have the no sign on top of the word no fat chicks.
So that's like a weird.
It's a double negative.
You have to kind of really think. Yeah. Okay.
No fat chicks.
Yeah.
It's
a fat chicks.
Yeah. God love you, man.
And why don't you just have a shirt that just says fat chicks?
No, because I'm against this no fat chicks.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
I love you, Paul. Well, Paul, this is going to be a fun podcast. It already. Has been, and I appreciate you coming here, and I can't wait to hypothetically go to some adult stores after this podcast is over.
I want you to go over the rules.
Yeah. No,
all right. The rules have been set.
Yeah, no touching.
That's your ruler.
And you're cool with touching?
Nobody touches anybody, Larry, at one of those places.
That's a rule.
Please don't brush up against my arm or when my back's turned or something like that.
If you're coming, patting your back,
you ready to go? Ugh.
If you're in period porn, and I don't mean Renaissance.
No, I know exactly.
Yeah, menstruating porn. Yeah. Jane Austen, Little Women porn. No, don't touch me.
Understandable, Larry, but that's one of those.
You're in that section?
No, but that section is next to ground beefing.
Ground beefing.
What is ground beefing?
You know,
are you stepping? You like women with big feet stepping in?
Yeah, the suitable for work porn.
Is that really?
Yeah,
SFW porn safe for work
because they're just stepping in beef.
Yeah,
nothing sexy about it.
If I caught Andy at home with a production crew. And she was doing cake farts or ground beefing or something like that. I'd be like, yeah, it's fine.
No, because ground beefing's stepping in meat. Cake farts is
that's
panty-less.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, she was farting in cakes without
panties.
We
hypothetically saw this Craigslist ad that was asking for fart models. And I have to admit, for a split second.
You thought you posted it?
I hypothetically posted. Am I requesting fart models?
You Tyler Durden think you said Tyler Durden.
That seems like something I would post.
Who's the user? Sad Clown 69.
No.
Yeah. So check me out at fartmodels.org.
Your website.
Right. And now we don't do Craigslist, it's a Virage sale now.
So, Paul, let's have fun.
Let's do this.
All right, everybody. It's time for my segment of the evening. The segment entitled, Yeah, we're looking at that. A segment where I talk about the latest in movies and video games. And hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, yeah, we're looking at that. So this week, we're talking about Robin Williams' last final performance movie. In a movie called Boulevard. It is a movie that he had shot before he tragically had committed suicide.
He Tupac'd the movie.
And
wow. Is it like The Crow?
No.
Or is
the
it-
movie was finished filming before he passed.
Boulevard?
Boulevard is the movie that he, the last movie that he had shot and he was actually in, co-starring with him as Bob Odenkirk, who plays his best friend.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. He's like a typical office worker job. Like he's very, it's where he's very average. Nothing happens to him. Nothing's interesting happened to him. He's married. He's been married for years, but never had a child. And the relationship with his wife is very kind of just boring. You know, it's not that they don't love each other, but if there's nothing there. They sleep in separate beds, and he's just kind of like he has just nothing going on with his life. And one day. He rolls his car across these guys asking for change, and he just kind of happens to just kind of focus on this one guy who looks like he needs help, like a young guy, and asks if he wants him to buy dinner. And not in a sexually confused, you know, kind of way, just a genuine, like I've never done anything interesting or helpful, or I've never contributed anything, but here's this guy who needs help. And I'm going to offer this guy dinner. And then he starts to kind of become like wants to protect him, almost like redeeming himself because he's never done anything. And because he starts to kind of do this, it starts to kind of lighten his mood to where like his best friend notices like, yeah, you got like a little pep in your step type of thing and things are looking up for you. But at the same time, things are going a little crazy because this kid, and I say kid, but he's like 20, something. He actually like sees him getting like beat up like for money, like, hey, where's the money? Like a drug deal kind of gone wrong thing. And he actually steps in and says, leave him alone. And in turn gets his ass kicked for like essentially a total stranger. And then he goes to work with a messed up iron. He's like, what's wrong with you? Like people are like wondering, what are you going through? And his wife, same thing. Like, are you cheating on me? Like strange looking movie in the sense that I guess like his arc is just doing something and this something is really nothing. You know, like it's not like a bucket list. I'm going to go do these crazy things. I'm going to go parasailing. I'm going to go or rob a bank or I'm going to do all these things. He just essentially just wants to like help out this kid. And then it just changes his outlook on life. It's very odd looking.
It has a vibe of like paying it forward and the initial responses of Walter and Breaking Bad trying to help Jesse kind of thing. It almost sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Robin Williams did a great job in Father of the Year. You seen Father of the Year?
I haven't, but I remember you telling me about that.
Father of the Year is obviously dark as fuck, and it's about this failed artist whose son accidentally kills himself, sadly, by doing autoerotic asphyxiation.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, I know. With a belt.
Ah, cool.
Oh, he gave himself the David Carradine does.
Exactly. So he found his son dead with his dick in his hands. Mm. So he, to give him dignity, zipped his pants up, put him in his closet. And then wrote this suicide letter that got all this media attention because it was really well written because he wrote it. Mm. So then he took a book of his own poetry and pretended like it was his son's. And it went on this advantage of his son's fucking death. Yeah, it was terrible.
I think what gave it a weird kind of vibe was that, it is his final film and the fact that he did hang himself with that in, being known, looking at the preview of the movie makes it kind of like a little awkward. Like it makes it a little weird. Yeah. Like it's all
another Bicentennial Man.
Oh, have you seen that?
Shit.
What?
I worked in a movie Bicentennial
Man. I've seen Bicentennial Man. Yeah.
I've never seen
it. It's not good. Like it's, yeah, it's
did
not good.
See RV?
No, man.
But it's another one of those movies where it's like, wow, that's very.
Movie at your ass. Yeah. Kick.
Of course, in the trailer, he looks great because Robin Williams is a phenomenal actor. He's a great actor. He's got great roles. I thought it was just worth mentioning because it is his final film and it's coming out post his death. So I thought it inspired a good topic. And the topic, our first topic of the night, is what is your favorite final performance? And that could mean not so much, you know, okay, an actor's final film after they passed away. It could be an actor's final film that they retired, or a band's farewell tour or farewell concert, or an author's like final book, or someone's final piece of art or music, or, you know, just their final piece of work that they kind of dropped the mic on, maybe, yeah. You know. So I'll kick it off, and my favorite is a combination of Enter the Dragon and Game of Death, which is the last two movies that Bruce Lee was in. And the reason why I say combination is because Enter the Dragon was the last movie that he fully acted in, that he fully did, and the movie was finished, it was complete. Game of Death was the movie that he was filming before Enter the Dragon, and he died after Enter the Dragon, and then it never finished. But the reason why it's my favorite is because of how much unanswered questions his final project had and what came of it. Not because it was great, but just how infinitely fascinating it is that he shot 100 minutes of footage of a battle concept, but there was no finished movie around it, just a bunch of questions. And the whole premise was that he built, his original vision was that there was a pagoda with five levels, five tiers, and each level would have a different martial artist. And at the top of the tier, there would be this treasure. No one ever knew what was supposed to be at the top of this pagoda. The only thing that they kind of had pieced together was that he was saving his like cousins or something like that, like two cousins. That's the only thing that they had in his notes or what he was going to do. So they filmed three of these tiers. And the whole premise was that him and a couple of friends were supposed to like fight up these tiers as a team. And the whole principle was that he wanted to showcase the vast world of martial arts. It wasn't just Kung Fu, or it wasn't just, you know, Jeet Kune Do, which he had made. It was like the first floor was a Eskrima, it was a stick fighter, and then the other ones would be a Korean fighter, and then it was going to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it was supposed to be a karate, and it was supposed to be all these different things, but he only got three of them done. And so when he stopped doing that, then did Enter the Dragon and then died, they're like, well, we're sitting on this like stash of like footage. Like, what do we do with it? And then they made this movie. Like, they made this fucking movie that's so fucking weird and kind of disrespectful. I don't know if they would do something like this, like in this day and age, but it's very interesting. So when he died, they made a completely different story building up to it. They used a body double, couple body doubles, leading up to the story. And his character was a martial arts star. And his name was Billy Lowe, I think. And in the movie, Billy Lowe gets shot and killed. And he actually survived, so he cheated. He faked his death. So all the times when he was kind of coming back to like get a go against the guys he was fighting, he was wearing disguises. So that's how they got these body doubles to kind of play him, because it was Bruce Lee, quote unquote, in costumes and beards. And so like it doesn't have to look like Bruce Lee. It can kind of just be like him.
They did that with Heath Ledger in his last movie. It wasn't the Magic Emporium, but the Terry Gilliam movie, where they went into this dream world and he turned into Johnny Depp and Jude Law and Colin. Dr. Parnassus, Parnassus.
But what that movie didn't do was what they didn't actually have footage of his fucking funeral into the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, I don't think they would actually do that in this day and age.
Nah, man.
When they had his actual funeral and his passing, dude. And then it was supposed to be that character. Thing.
Has anybody seen Fast and the Furious 7?
I haven't, but I don't think they did that with Paul Walker. But
I don't know. Like, maybe they did.
Did they have footage of his funeral?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
They'll finish movies where actors, like, they'll do that. Hey. The Crow was like that. You know, like, it's, you know, they had stuff. They had Brandon Lee. They had body double.
I'm wondering if they had Paul Walker's funeral.
But, like, they had I remember there's this one.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah. There's one shot where he's looking in the mirror, and then his reflection in the mirror was represented by a cardboard cutout. Like, it was straight up like the back of his body doubles and face, and then on the mirror is a fucking cardboard cutout of Bruce Lee's face. It's so fucking weird. Like, it was so shitty, but at the same time, it's massively iconic because it's Bruce Lee in the yellow jumpsuit. And like, if you go, what is Bruce, like, when people say Bruce Lee, they either think of the black pants with no shirt on, or they think of the nunchucks with the yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what that movie was, but he never finished it. And so all the different versions, like they have the main Game of Death that they released, and then they had knockoffs of knockoffs. Like, it was perpetually torn apart and tried to make something out of the stuff that he shot. And it wasn't until maybe like 10 years ago that they finally like took all the footage that he shot and then like edited it and put it together. And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so cool to see that so many years after the fact, where you're used to seeing, you know, the fighting was choppy and you'd always wonder why. It was because he had other dudes with him and there was supposed to be all this stuff going on. And when you see it like the way it was supposed to be, it's
when did they
really
do that?
Fucking cool. Like 10,
yeah.
10, 12 years ago, maybe like 15 years ago, maybe it was a while ago, but there's no story. It's just him at the pagoda. It's just a fight scene. Wow. It would have been the centerpiece of his movie, but it never happened. And like what he really wanted to do, he took it to the grave. But that combined with also, of course, Enter the Dragon, like that being his final full movie, and this movie is like, wow, that's like absolute mic drop. Like, he left like the legacy with those two things, like boom. And what's so interesting is like, what would martial arts be like had he lived? Because all of like Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, Yuen Biu, like how long would it have taken for them to actually become stars? Because the reason they became stars was because Bruce Lee was dead.
Right.
They were wanting to find somebody to replace him, and they ushered him in the spotlight. So if he was still alive, would they have, how long would it have taken for them to like become in a movie, one, be in a movie, and two, define themselves where they were like, holy shit, this is what I do? Because Jackie Chan becoming Jackie Chan has a lot to do
with Bruce Lee being
Bruce Lee being dead.
Well, yeah, that's what I read on Kung Fu Hustle. Like, half of those stars were Bruce Lee body doubles that turned into movie stars simply because Bruce Lee was dead. And they even were named Bruce or had last names Lee in their...
Yeah, the landlord, it's Yuen Hua.
Yeah, he was his body double in Enter the Dragon.
And he's amazing. Well, he's really good.
Well, the Beast was... His name's Bruce something.
Yeah.
You know, and he was the answer to Bruce Lee afterwards, too. And so I get that. Mine is... to your point where they don't have to be dead, because I was going to go Nirvana Unplugged. Mm-hmm. But I think the ultimate mic drop is Eddie Murphy's Raw.
His final comedy.
Yeah.
Film, like
his final comedy performance.
Live performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he's been in a bunch of movies since.
Obviously.
Yeah. But that totally counts. Yeah.
He was fucking great. And even though, looking back on it, some of the stuff with the gay... policeman, and you know, it's simple, but it's that whole thing at the time when he was saying this stuff.
Yeah, at the time it was fucking
And I was thinking about all the dead people that I admire, the Bill Hickses and stuff, and Richard Pryor's, and I'm like, no, the last, because their last performances were like, and like, you know, Bill Hicks's Letterman performance that was taken off the air. It's okay.
Well, because it's a censored version of what he was already doing.
And it was kind of anti-gay too, which is another kind of common theme of 80s stand-up comedy. But Eddie Murphy to just be like, I'm one of the greatest stand-ups that ever lived,
and doesn't want to even challenge himself,
do it anymore. I believe he went on stage the day Richard Pryor died at the Comedy Store. It's kind of like, you know, what I've heard. But just to fucking just quit and make shitty movies.
No, I mean, he made a lot of blockbuster films.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am not taking that away from him, but fuck, he could have been a monster.
But think about it this way. What if he ended up sucking doing stand-up comedy?
Well, that's why I like Harlem Nights a lot, because it's, you know, it's Ricky Harris, it's Red Fox, it's Richard Pryor, it's Eddie Murphy, it's all these great comedians, and obviously Eddie Murphy's on that fucking list of great comedians, and just to fucking, like, not, you know, most stand-ups have this love for it, and so I've read some interviews with him and stuff like that, and he's pretty much kind of said, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't believe it. I bet you it's money, or you know, because I don't know, it's doing what I do with Street Fighter. When I win, I quit, and I'm the champion.
But that's hardcore what he did, because I think him being at that recent 40th anniversary of SNL, and him coming out and deciding to not do anything,
nothing,
everybody
funny.
Did something. Bill Murray did something. Yeah. Like, that's... I didn't think he would do something, but he did something. He was
Adam Sandler did something.
And
Adam Sandler has ill feelings towards SNL.
Yeah, and I thought... Yeah, I... And I... out of all those people that performed, I'm like, well, Eddie Murphy's got to do something, but he didn't. And it was hardcore. And not only did he not do something, he went on stage and kind of choked on.
No, he said,
who was he talking about? He was supposed to be talking about
high school and, you know, seeing all your old friends and just being like, yeah, this is where I started.
Oh, no, no, that's what it was. It was Chris Rock talked him up before he came on stage. And yeah. after he got talked up as being
the greatest,
he yeah. couldn't get through couldn't a simple.
It. Yeah.
It wasn't even supposed to be funny. It was just supposed to be a simple teleprompter thing, and he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I think that's just so. It's so crazy. That's so weird. Yeah,
but I think it's smart what he's doing, because if he would have died
right
after Raw, right? Okay. Fucking t-shirts, memorials, Buddy Holly museums, fucking the whole nine. But he didn't. But he stopped because people always say, oh, my God, can you imagine if John Lennon survived? Oh, my God, can you imagine if Jimi Hendrix survived? Yeah. I'll tell you
what.
I got
my mind set on you.
Thank you. Yes. I'll top you one over that. Kanye West would happen.
If, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
If John Lennon was alive right now, he would be doing some shitty duet with Fergie. Like that, you know what I mean? And he's, you know, one of the greatest, blah, blah, blah. I like Paul McCartney more, but like Paul McCartney is alive and he did one of the worst songs I've ever heard with Kanye West. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
I've never heard the song.
It was live. I saw it too.
I can't
it
even tell awful. You because it's off and it's gross. Okay. The Rolling Stones, have you seen them? Have you heard fucking his duet with Will I Am? Like, it's terrible. So there's people that you can look at, like, you know, B.B. King lived a fucking long, beautiful, glorious life, and he toured to the end, but he stopped making really great music because he got fucking old. Aretha Franklin is Big Mama now. Like, the last thing she did is, I think she did a Star Spangled Banner at, like, a Super Bowl, and she lip-synced it, yeah. And she lip-synced it terribly.
It's terrible.
Like, you know, you don't want to end like that, you know? And, yeah. And so that's why I think Eddie Murphy...
He was comfortable. He found comfortable doing something.
I'm being, end on top.
Well, no, end on top so much stand-up career, but able to do the movies in a comfortable arena because it's cut and written and it's not live. And I think it just relies on a lot of other people, you know. So, yeah, that's very.
Yeah, so yeah, Eddie Murphy, answer. last.
I wouldn't expect that performance. Answer. That's great.
My answer, it doesn't come from entertainment at all. It last performance was June 15th. 2003, where he scored 12 points and 17 rebounds in his second NBA championship, number 50, the Admiral David Robinson.
Nice. All
from
right.
The San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
I just happened to grab that card.
Motherfuckers.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Where are your Raptors at last now, RTV?
They suck. Last game of his amazing career. You go out winning the NBA championship.
Double.
And you're like, yo, I'm out. He's, and it's funny. I went and looked it up because I was like, you know what? He handed out. Like, he won. And I looked up his career. The dude's an amazing. He is. The fourth and most recent player in NBA history to record a quadruple-double.
Quadruple-double. I remember it.
Quadruple.
At the Alamo Dome.
Double. Fourth player and most recent to score 70 points in a game.
Yep.
One of two players in all of NBA history.
In all NBA history.
To lead the league in scoring, rebounding, and block shots. Brrrup. Only other player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right. Damn, who's in game
for the Bucks? You hear that, Shaq? Fuck you, dude.
The second player in NBA history to win Rookie of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
MVP.
MVP.
Guess who's the only other NBA player to do that?
Who that?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael goddamn Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
So can you imagine having that career? David Robinson, that career.
5-0.
And not just your first, but your second championship, going, I'm out. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's pretty baller. And to not do it like that. He goes, oh, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Just with, of course, like, and then, most, like, Christian class.
Yeah, yes. And to be also one of the few NBA players to win MVP without winning a championship at the time.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy. If you look up his Wikipedia.
Wow, that's for,
Dream team.
Oh, he's the only player in NBA history to lead the league in scoring, rebounding, and block shots, and win Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player, and Most Valuable. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did all of this except Defensive Player of the Year, which did not exist. But
I ain't even mad your Genesis game kind of sucked.
Yeah, dude.
And it don't matter.
You know what? I liked...
your fucking double pump from the free throw dunk on Bulls versus Lakers, motherfucker.
So,
and
anyway, eat your pizza backwards.
Yeah.
With the stuffed crust.
Yeah, $9.99.
Midnight basketball.
Midnight basketball. Yeah. David Robinson.
Shake my hand at St. Philip's Jesus, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're so nice.
He's 7 foot. He's 7 foot two.
My grandma said you're one of the good ones.
You said what? You Christian.
So yeah, David Robinson, Mike dropping his career.
The Carver Center.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He got inducted into the Hall of Fame the same day that Michael Jordan did. And their speeches are such a contrast to each other.
Michael Jordan was the biggest dick ever.
Yes. It's like, I have no, the only people I'm going to thank are my haters. Like, he literally say that.
He brought the guy from high school
who benched him. You benched Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he didn't
think. And then was like, I'd like to thank everybody for giving this.
First and foremost, I would like to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, yeah! Yes, with your full head of hair. That's right.
Yo, and he was 7 foot two and made of pure muscle.
Pure muscle.
It was unbelievable.
He had that dick vein in his arm.
Yeah.
Anyway, good
love
shit.
Me some David
good
Robinson.
Answer,
yeah, that's,
dear.
Yeah, that's Mike
dropping
bomb.
Good answer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are all of our answers minorities? Yeah, man. No white people, dude.
Okay, hold on. Let's see.
Paul?
Number one, Sean Connery. As far as I know, his very last performance is actually the most, why didn't you listen to that other person? One of his final performances was he was in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That was his
But I found out he was offered the role of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, and he turned it down. In an interview in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he actually says he was offered many prestigious roles before League, and one of them was they offered me Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, and like I didn't understand the role, so I turned it down. So yeah, that and when I
it's
thought
already pushing it.
Yeah, that was one of the things where I was like, you dumb.
He still fucks.
And then that was the thing. When he finished that movie, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's it. He finished with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, a mediocre interpretation of arguably one of the greatest comics of all time.
Yeah, I'm totally...
Okay, but that's not his best performance.
His final performance.
That's his favorite final performance.
As far as acting goes,
how interesting it is. Yeah.
Gotcha.
In terms of acting, the other like brush up on comedian that you were talking about, like what if this person was still alive, is very underwritten as Sam Kinison. I was introduced to Sam Kinison by Jess.
Yeah,
I had never, ever heard of this guy, and... You want to talk about politically incorrect. At the time, this was back when political incorrectness was laughed at. No one ever knew about it. As far as developing his career and the way he died, if he was still alive, I honestly don't think he would have been able to go where he was. In regards to your thing about Eddie Murphy, I honestly don't think if Eddie Murphy was allowed to say what he would want to say, it might not actually be what it could be, because I think he still has that old mentality to where I think he knows if he says it,
his career's over.
It's like Bill Cosby, basically.
Yeah, Sam, that's a good answer.
But his final performance, though, was a wild thing. Was that music video he did with all the metalheads?
Eddie Murphy's final performance was Raw.
Last stand-up performance.
Yeah, last stand-up performance is fucking awesome.
Okay.
But here's where I think... Like, I love Sam Kinison, but there
is... Houston, Texas comic, motherfuckers.
Arguably, he did a bad thing for comedy in the sense that he turned it into, like, the whole rock star persona.
Yeah, sure did.
And he kind of like, okay, now every comedian has to be this shouty, loud, obnoxious asshole. So, like, he brings in the, like...
Opens the door.
To me, there's this fine line of, like, oh, Sam Kinison was awesome, Dane Cook. You know,
very good.
You know what I'm saying? It was more about the performance and how big and how outrageous there's a thing though. I think if he lived after being sober, I think it would have made him a better comic because his original when he was found by Rodney Dangerfield and his original stuff.
Oh, it's great.
Was so fucking great.
And the yelling was limited.
And it worked because he picked his points.
You see this?
Yeah.
This is sand.
This is sand.
You know what grows here?
Nothing! Nothing grows out here! Yeah. Fucking desert! Gonna grow out here! And when his last performance where he's in the bust up shirt, he's got his naked chick, his wife was one of the women that came out.
Now she survived the car accident.
Yeah, she survived the car accident. Yeah. So I think him being sobered or kind of at least trying to make the effort because he had kind of dipped in and out.
Yeah.
I think that what he would have gotten back to being this.
I think he would have been a fucking
amazing comic. And not to say he wasn't amazing. I loved him, but he's a dated comic. His special, his last special, which I watched that special so much. It is dated and it's kind of embarrassingly like very early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah, and it's like,
let me call your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Why didn't you break his heart?
Yeah. No, the Bat Out of Hell DVD, Paul gave me that. It was a tribute to Sam Kinison. Paul gave me that for a birthday, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Paul.
The other thing that I thought was kind of weird, and like this goes to like, oh, this could have been great, was there was a video game that came out on the Super Nintendo. It was very obscure, and it was the game I like as far as the genre goes. It was a shooter. You're like a little plane, and you're dominating everything, and I've done some pretty crazy things on those games, but this game was known as Axelay.
Yeah.
And if you actually played it.
Oh, yes.
It was,
you're all about that shit.
It was super, super cool, super, super great. It was done by Konami. This was before the Konami that fell apart now. But it was reviewed as one of the greatest games of all time. Little known, and actually at the time, remember Nintendo Power, they actually did a special where if you beat the game three times on hard mode, it actually had in the game a trailer for part two. Well, a little screenshot. Coming soon, Axelay 2.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Never happened.
So it was like one of those, like, this could have been, but it was like, oh, what a great way to end it. It was such a great.
It is super hard. It is brutal. But it's doable, though.
Yeah.
The whole thing about Konami games, like Contra and all that shit, is like people, like, just Contra, regular old school Nintendo Contra. Like, they had a video where, like, these kids played it and they kept on dying and, like, okay, this is one of the hardest games. It's not, like, after you've played it so many times, Contra you can do in your sleep. But, man, like, all their games were, like, really hard, but they were tangible and they were like made to a point to where it was doable. You could do it if you just like fucking
learn
and figure it out. You could do it. It wasn't cheap, I guess.
Yeah, it's like going into a room 45 times.
Yeah.
Over and over again. For hours.
For hours.
And then being like, oh, hey, that picture's different.
I should look at that picture. Okay, there it is. Yeah,
is that that's not Konami? What?
That was Konami. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
it was
Konami. You do know that that's the biggest craze in, like,
in, that's a different type of.
No, it's the biggest craze in sort of like thing to do in cities now are escape rooms. Like where you trapped in a room. It's like every city you go, because whenever I travel, I look up like things to do in cities, and they're always ranked. It's you're trapped in a room. I've never done it, dude.
Yeah,
I recently did that. Funny enough,
did you
the San Antonio that horror thing down there? That's
yeah.
But you it's did a that fake in San Antonio. Room.
No, were you
talking about doing it?
I didn't do it there. I just noticed that they're all over the place. Okay, so did you get locked in a room?
The scenario was you could buy five scenarios, and they're pretty pricey, but the thing is if you wanted to do it with a group of, like, say, like the five of us, we're going to do it, we would actually have There's to have a minimum of seven.
Oh, got it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
The podcast listener is the fifth.
Yeah,
there you go.
We're talking to you, RTB.
If there were seven of us and we all paid for the specific scenario, it would just be us in the scenario. However, it was just you and me. It would just be the two of us with a group of other people in the same scenario. So one of those things where, like, the more people you knew, the easier it was to work through it. But when there's, like, three Strangers. Other drunk assholes, it kind of ruins the experience. But our scenario was, we're locked in a lab. The guy's son was the experiment. It went horribly wrong. Yeah. We have to find out how to get out of the room. But in order to do it, there's two exits. One, you have to solve puzzles. The other one, you have to find keys. Of course, before you get in there, they have a test room. So it's one of those, like, here's what you can expect before you go into the room. Because each ticket was $40.
Fuck
so,
that shit.
And the percentage rate of anyone passing the room was 2%. No one did. So basically,
if I'm paying $40 for something, I'm fucking getting the fuck out.
Yeah, we didn't. So yeah, I totally know what you mean. But
Larry's
making fun of Jess about this video game where you were just in a hallway.
We're Walking Dead's in Silent Hill, dude.
And we're Walking Dead's in Silent Hill, and you walk around a bunch, and you have to spot these little different things to get out of this hallway. That is literally the biggest craze right now in sort of like
people are attractions in different cities.
It's a different type of game. It's a different type of beast than
it's
a shooter.
Virtual, it's virtual, like, as far as like it's real versus virtual. As far as anyone can do the whole video game trying over and over again.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to.
No. I'm trying to like agree with your whole thing. Where it's like there's a reason for this.
Oh
like,
man, dude, this game's so fun. Yeah, what happened? What'd you do? I went into this room, and then I left the room, but then it was the same room, and then I went into the room again, and it did it for like
whatever,
4 hours.
Go play Madden, right, guys?
Nice.
I don't exactly, play Madden. Bro. Go play Madden. All right, let's get to the...
I don't play Madden. Play Madden, dude.
I don't like games that are hard. Let me play Madden.
I play badass
games. Let's play NBA 2K.
Hell yeah, dude. Unlock fucking 94 Jordan.
NBA
dude.
Street, dog.
Yeah.
Sweetie, love the kids.
Quonk, 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 quonk.
Anyway, all right. Facebook answers. Jacob James Garcia says his favorite final performance is Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking first. That's the first thing.
That's not his final performance, bro.
The dude was an engine of chaos for show. What was his last performance then?
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
But it's his last completed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Gabriel Diaz says, Mako Iwamatsu, a.k.a. the dude who played Akira the Wizard, voice work on Samurai Jack as Aku. Oh, wow. And Uncle Iroh on Avatar, The Last Airbender. Oh, man. That's a good answer. Alfred Pettis says Nirvana's last song on the radio. You know you're right.
That's a good song.
I was leaving work and it started to ride up as a car went into drive. It took a second to realize the band playing didn't just sound like Nirvana. It was Nirvana. I was overcome with joy and sadness all the time. I pulled over just to hear the rest of it with my eyes closed. Thank you, Kurt. I miss you, man. John Flores says, I came here to say this. The same thing that Alfred Perez said. Nice. The last song Nirvana recorded just showed that they, and Kurt in particular, were nowhere close to a decline in their musical career. Jared Rogers says, recently saw Whiplash, and Miles Teller's last drum performance was a thing of beauty.
It was.
Final performance.
I just recently saw that movie, and it floored me.
Dude, yeah. It floored me. Wow, I'm at the end,
Have you
dude.
Seen Whiplash? Dude, watch it.
It balls out. Floored me to the point where I was like, that might have been my favorite thing from that list of... I mean, I'm not big on Oscars, but I would probably say that was probably...
It's hardcore.
Whiplash is the shit, dude. Yeah, fucking Oz.
Hector Bohorquez says Husker Du's Liberty Lunch concert 2 weeks before they broke up. I had tickets, but had to come home for an emergency. I fantasized about that show. It's too long to explain how important these guys are to post-punk music and onslaught of grunge in the 90s. For me, they expressed all the rage, sentiment, love, and the possibility of transcendence in that godforsaken Reagan cesspool of a decade.
Yeah, every time I hear the name, I just think of Wayne. Husker Du. Wayne's World. Cause because you went down a list of bands with weird names, and I hear Husker Du. That just... Yes, the music's cool, but I just am not.
All I hear, Dave, about fucking Mike Myers ruin it for you.
Yeah.
George Anthony says Letterman.
Oh, his. Have you seen his
it was
last
cool.
show?
It was cool. I liked it.
I recorded it and it got deleted because of Disney Channel. Thanks.
Oh, well.
Damn. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, "I know what it will be. Thankfully, it was not this past May." Hashtag facing the inevitable. I'm pretty sure
Kenan Thompson's last performance on SNL.
No, we got like a fucking.
That's what he said. Yeah, so
he's gonna rock Tim Meadows on that show.
Yeah, he ain't going for another 20 years. Travis K says it wasn't his last performance, but it was the last performance of his that I saw. John Belushi in Blues Brothers. The movie was honestly life changing for me.
Yeah, his last movie was Neighbors, which is very cool, underrated. I that's a neat movie.
Susie Hamilton says the monologue Conan did on his final episode on NBC has stuck with me. He said, if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen. Bobby Smith says Tupac in Training Day.
Snoop right. Dogg was in Training Day.
Wait, Bobby Smith, what was your favorite?
That's going to be a Tupac in Training Day. Nah, I'm just playing, y'all. I'm just kidding.
You silly.
Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah. All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all later.
Gregory Pierce and Doctor Who. I don't want to go... Doctor Who, the I Don't Want to Go speech from David Tennant always makes me really sad. I know they brought him back for the 50th, but only to have him say it again. And Berto Garcia says Mick Foley's Hell in a Cell with Triple H.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, man. Good answer. All right. Fucking A. You're interesting, right, Paul?
I was. Yeah. Yeah, well,
it was. Yeah, yeah. I'm not into it now.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, dude. Hell in a Cell. Mick Foley. That was a good one.
All right.
That's even though they kind of staged some shit, Berto. But all right.
You all right, dude.
All right, dude.
So,
good topic question.
Good topic question for a movie that's, I'm not really thrilled. But Boulevard, very interesting trailer, very interesting final movie considering the actor and considering how he went out. Boulevard, yeah, I'm going to look into that.
All right, guys, now it's time for another edition of my segment called Dad's Corner.
Yeehaw.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
All right. This one's a little different where I'm not, you know, going off of an experience that I've had with the kids.
What?
This is actually off of a news story, and Andy recommended that I do it for Dad's Corner. It was on ABC News. It was about the Angulo family that lived in a Manhattan apartment. It was a father and his wife with seven children, six boys, one girl that lived for over a decade in a small apartment in Manhattan, New York, for our Canadian friends. Schmidt. Sure.
Okay.
Never went outside. No television, no access to the outside world, with only the occasional like stroll outside like once a year that turned into like none. They went a few years with never fucking going outside. And the only thing that they had as far as entertainment, because they were homeschooled, was their dad's movie collection. And their father had over 2,000 films. And lucky for them, the films that he had were Fight Club, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction. I was a Tarantino fan.
Batman.
Were Batman. And the group of boys, they looked like Native Americans. They had really long hair. Their features were, you know, very dark, you know. And what ended up happening is this filmmaker met them once they finally rebelled, when the oldest one was like 19, 20 years old, and said, we're going out, right? She sees them with these long hair and sunglasses because that's what they think that people dress like, you know. Obviously, the long hair was because their dad didn't cut it, but the leather jackets and the sunglasses.
And it was
were
just like long hair. It's like mullet-esque.
No, it was like Indian, like Native American, like long black hair. And she just was a nice person and befriended them, and they took her back to the apartment, and she decided to do a documentary because they had a video camera. And it's this, you know, really kind of pretty story where they bored out of their fucking minds. Recreated all these movies. Like, they scripted out from just memorizing the films, and they had suits and they had glasses and they redid Reservoir Dogs. They were in a car. They redid Pulp Fiction. They made a Batman suit out of old yoga mats and cereal boxes.
Where'd they get yoga mats?
Thank you. Where did they get all these costumes? But yeah, they made guns out of cereal. And these are good-looking fucking props. And they were reenacting all these films. And so it made it to Sundance. And they have since, you know, have been all over the country. People have been showing them things, been taking them. They've never seen the ocean kind of stuff. And it's really kind of a surreal experience to think that, you know, all the things that we take for granted. Yes, you kind of, you know, sympathize with blind people. Like, oh, my God, I could see all this stuff blind people can't. Right. But that's something that they just unfortunately can't. There's nothing that can change it. Deaf people too. It's like, you know, we take for granted everything that we hear and stuff like that. But hearing the story about this just paranoid father, and who basically trapped his kids because of the fear of the outside world. Mm-hmm. You go online, you go on Facebook, you have all these people don't trust the government, don't trust pop culture. You know, they're trying to give their hidden agenda to you. And you're like, if you're really that serious, man, you'd never fucking go outside. This dude never fucking went outside. Now, I don't know all the details behind if the dad had an outside job or whatever, but I know for certain that the mom and the seven kids never went outside. And looking at the footage that they had, it was a small fucking place, yeah, dude.
Sure.
For seven people to live in New York.
To their defense, they didn't know it was that small of a place.
Exactly. Exactly, man. So when they would go outside, one of the kind of heartbreaking comments that one of the kids makes is, wow, it's like 3D. They just were not, they didn't know the outside world. But lucky for them, as minimally lucky as silver lining as a terrible life like that could be, their dad liked cool fucking movies. Right? Yeah. He liked cool movies. And it kind of made me question, you know, like if he was really against all that outside influence, why was he showing him Tarantino movies, which were so violent?
Yeah,
maybe to put fear in their heads.
This is what the outside world is like.
Yeah,
yeah, but you said he owned 2,000 movies.
Yeah,
so
these
little kids of them were cool movies.
Yeah,
well, he also probably had like Bicentennial Man.
And right. Wow, man, really?
I'm just saying,
he's dead, man.
We don't unless we have a
dead,
list
dude.
Of robots. Unless we have a list of the 2,000 movies, we don't know. It just so happened to be he had some cool movies.
Yeah, that might have been the only because those movies they resonated
right because they're boys because they're teenage boys.
Yeah, and they recreated those because those were their favorite.
Right.
So
that's a very good point, but it brings my topic question. It's a little bit of a complicated topic question, but check out the film The Wolf Pack, which is so funny because you take the douchiest cliche from the Hangover movies and turn it into this really kind of deep story. It's online and stuff, and you can see the ABC News video if you Google it. So it brings up my question. If you had no outside influence except the influence of your parents, what type of person would you be? Now, again,
we're all essentially homeschooled.
Homeschooled, you don't go outside, and it's only what your parents like. Movies your parents watched, books your parents read, TV shows that they watched. No news, no articles, no magazines, just what your parents liked. That's the only influence that you had. Now, just me and my mom. My mom is your classic, white guilt movies were really big in my household. You know, like Life with Eddie Murphy and
like
Martin
Sophie's
Lawrence.
Sophie's Choice?
No, that's not white guilt. No, like The Help and Color Purple.
But the movie's okay. I got you.
Whereas like black people had it bad.
Roots.
Yeah, that they love that movie. Fucking Star Wars. You know, like those type of movies.
Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. No, man. They... So my mom watched a lot of that, and my grandma, luckily, just like the Argulos over here, like gangster movies. So I'm not going to count it because it's basically what influenced me currently. So it was just me and my mom. It would be nothing but Motown music and black people movies. So I would probably have thought that everybody outside of the world was black and funky and cool as fuck. And I'd be talking jive like you've never seen. And I would have, I would dress fucking fly as fuck, but like 50s fly, kind of like Ray
Charles.
She would
have bought the clothes for you, though.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Because she would have wanted me to be her little temptation. I probably, would have had that fucking onion stuff that flattens your hair like Malcolm X used. And I would just be a 1950s black man.
Conk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get flatten my hair out. And I'd be like, ooh, wee. Like, I'd be saying shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'd, I'd be fly as fuck. I wish that happened.
Wow. Now, I'm the same way. I would be, my parents, I remember just growing up listening to Oldies But Goodies on vinyl. That's literally what all the albums are called, like volume 1 through 20, like Oldies But Goodies.
My mom, too. They should meet. Like,
yeah, probably. My old man is the blackest guy I know, so I definitely would be talking jive. The only thing, I'm trying to think of how different I would be, because they're good people, and this is till like the age of 18, and then I get out, or like...
Yeah,
that's what's confused about. So you live up to a, like the 18 mark, but
we'll say 25.
But you're only
18, because like the kids, like the...
All right.
But until that point, you're only dictated by them.
You only
by
have what they...
And no TV, right?
No.
Just what
like
movies did they watch. Mm-hmm. So I'd be watching like B-horror movies, whatever was popular at Blockbuster. Sleepers. The movie, like my dad, like not the movie Sleepers,
with
but
Kevin
they had,
Bacon?
No, but they had a section in movie in video
called
stores called the Sleeper. My dad loved that section.
Howie
which is
Mandel's
why,
Walk Like a Man,
which is why we saw Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Was a sleeper.
Sleepers was in the sleeper section.
Well, it might have been.
Not even joking.
No, it was. You're right.
So my dad really, he always liked finding those like random. He's like, oh, what's in the sleeper section? Like he liked looking those at those movies, which were like independent movies.
I'd be listening. Yeah, I'd be listening to like Motown and stuff. But I here's the. I think the one negative that would I think would be super different for me is I would be wicked like Christian conservative.
Yeah.
Like I'd be.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
I would be all about the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be very Baptist, very sort of Southern. I mean, even though I was raised Presbyterian.
Touché. Yeah.
I do think that I would have a lot more of that Southern Baptist because my dad was Baptist. My mom. Sort of was Presbyterian, so we went with my mom, but still my dad's very sort of conservative Southern Baptist, very into the Bible. So that would be like the first and foremost book that I would have.
Super Catholic. I forgot to add
that. Oh, you'd be super Catholic. I would be
crazy Catholic.
Yeah.
Like Harry Catholic.
Extremist
mm-hmm.
Catholic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't jack off ever.
Oh, yeah. 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 Right? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. And I would be very like. Fire, very fire and brimstone revelations, you know, kind of like, you know, the end is coming and, you know, you got to take Jesus in your life, all that sort of stuff. So I think I'd be very similar. Like, I wouldn't be that different because they're great. They're very awesome people. My dad's kooky and my mom's very, like I said, we've talked about this before, like who we are like, which one of our parents are like. I'm a good combo of both, but I think I'd be very, very super conservative and Christian as well.
Jason?
Yeah. Oh, the for me, the difference is extremely minimal because the things that my mom liked are the things that I liked. You know, I was born 77, so early 80s was the video game craze. That's why I'm such a gamer, because I was raised in that era when that explosion happened. My mom liked video games, and so us having a video game thing wasn't a toy just for me. It was a toy for all of us. We all played it. When I got a Nintendo, same thing. We all played Nintendo. When Tetris came out, we all played Tetris. We all played Mario. Like, all of us played games. So that would be, like, not different. My mom was a huge Stephen King fan, so she read Stephen King all the time. I got into Stephen King because of her, because she's like, those are the books she has. I got those books. The only difference is, of course, music, because the music would have been like 70s, early 80s rock or popular music or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if without the inside influence, I don't think I would have been into, like, definitely not metal.
Yeah.
I would have never gotten into metal. I would have never have gotten into the whole grunge or rock or the explosion. I wouldn't have never, it would have never went past hair metal. It would have stuck an early 80s pop rock. Pop,
yeah, I wouldn't even got.
And
that
it would have been like 70s rock and like just rock and roll, like regular classic rock and roll. I would have never had that exposure to like hard music, rap. That wouldn't have ever happened. That's the only thing I can really think of. Like movie wise, horror movies and comedy movies, and we just collectively, I was able, just kind of okay. She kind of found it to be suitable for me to watch. Under her guidance. So yeah. I think that would have been the only difference is just the taste of music. But I with a lot of the same traits.
All the metal and horror movies and stuff was my sister.
Okay.
And so like if it was just solely my parents, just not parents, none yeah. of that would have been.
Yeah, and I'm the oldest. It was just me for a while. So I'm the oldest. So that way, that's why I would have just been the same.
Yeah, music.
I probably would have been more of a reader in that case.
Yeah.
I would have read more.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think I'd be reading the Bible.
Yeah, because the only reason why I read shit Stephen King and stuff is because my mom read it, and then I read those books at an early age, you know? So, yeah, this is very interesting. Music is the only thing to be different.
Paulo?
Kind of weird for me because my parents were very, very protective of me when I was growing up, and I had a very sheltered life as well as far as my access to anything. I guess you would say, like, entertainment-wise, I would be new. I always say that I was born in the 80s, but I was raised in the 90s.
Right.
I never really knew much of anything in the 80s outside of a lot of – definitely nothing with music. My mom was very, very, very into the church. Still is into the church, but back then, very into the church and very into drama and acting. In fact, she would always push me to be in – drama, theater, and stuff like that. Cool. I hated it, though, of course, because when you're growing up, you hate what your parents push on you, so that's why I hated it so much. But every time she would be in charge of something for drama, I would always get picked to be in there because that was her thing. But choir was very big whenever I was growing up. I sang in like all kinds of church choirs.
You did sing?
Yeah, I did sing in the church choir. So if it was just going to be for that, I would have been pushed into more Catholic singing, choir, more church, way more church than I wanted. My mom was very into the classics of singing. She loved Mozart, Bach. She loved the sound of music. She loved Fiddler on the Roof, The Ten Commandments. Very, very grandiose theatrical presentation.
Yeah, the big Hollywood movies.
Yeah, the ones
that, like, your mom wasn't very religious, right, Joseph?
No, absolutely not. My mom, I think, you know, talking about it as I've, like, after, you know, leaving the house or whatever, briefly talking about it, she kind of specifically raised me with an empty canvas and, like, did not guide me in any direction whatsoever. Yeah, so if I wanted to discover that on my own, I would, and I never did. So
that's what I'm doing with the kids.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, was really into the sci-fi. He loved to read. Mm-hmm. Loved to read. He was very big into sci-fi and math. So I would probably have this choir boy slash accountant mold more going.
Some Bobby Fischer math in your head kind of
so
shit.
It would be more if we're going into the extreme measure of no television and just...
Nothing, just what they liked.
Yeah, it would just be... Heavily into choir, heavily into theater, very heavily into more schooling. Right. It'd be sun up to sundown, just school, school, school.
Wow.
But the bulk of my day, my real day, was as soon as I'd be home, I would always be told to go outside and play. Right. The bulk of my time was outside playing, like just imagining playing in trees. That was mostly what I would do, so I would reenact a lot of what I saw in movies trees.
Well, toys, too. Did these guys have toys?
I couldn't tell. I mean, with what they were making, like making guns, it doesn't look like they did.
That's what I'm saying. Cause yeah, I think Escape for me was always toys, but I'm trying to wonder if in the scenario we get toys.
Yeah, but see, the toys were influenced by the TV
shows. The TV shows on there. Well, another, I guess an interesting aspect of the question is education, because these kids were homeschooled. So in the same scenario for us, if we were homeschooled at home, what would the education be like? I guess so for me, I think it would be more trivial knowledge and trivial education, as opposed to, like, you know, when you go to school, you learn math, you learn, like,
you
certain skills and stuff in there.
It's required.
Yeah, the basics.
Like, the basics are required when you're homeschooled, because you still get tested by the state.
Oh, I suppose so. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Because you're saying they would just teach you...
I would just know, like, a shitload
of... Trivial Pursuit?
I would be really badass at 80s Trivia Pursuit.
It would be weird. Like, do these kids even... I mean, yeah, do they have... Diploma? Like, were they homeschooled?
Mm-hmm. They were homeschooled.
Okay, so they were...
No, they have footage of their mom in there with, like, math textbooks and stuff like that. But, you know, homeschooling, I've always found so interesting because, you know, there are certain things that you choose to teach your kids, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, history, for example, like, you know, fuck, man, like...
Skip that part.
Yeah, exactly. Civil rights, not so much. Yeah, fuck yeah. So, that's good answers, man.
Facebook answers. Susie Hamilton said she would have grown up to be paranoid. Jacob James Garcia said he'd drink less. George Anthony said he'd be a beauty school dropout. Nick Meyer says he'd be nice, hardworking, broke all the time. That's his dad. And horribly neurotic, his mom. And then he goes, wait a second. Probably meaning he is exactly that. Samson Portillo says a kind person. and he put dodge that bullet. Gabriel Diaz says a female dog.
A bitch.
Oh, yeah. Joking. He's joking, but probably some machismo doctor.
Yeah.
Athena Wood says a closeted cat lady.
I can see that. Yeah.
Definitely.
Leslie Holt says very meek, much more naive. By the way, I want to see the documentary with the pick you're saying. So. Jared Rogers says an unemployed but hardworking savant. All right. Alfred Pettis says, this is a great question. At my age, I've stopped being influenced by things. I dig in and research. I ponder and think. I make conscious decisions as I do as I ought to, but not always as I want to. I try to be a responsible citizen of the earth. If I was like my family, I think I'd be content but not happy. I'm happy as F now. Comics for life, bro. Travis K says, not too far from what I am now, except I'd be more religious than I am now. Like me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have my beliefs, but we don't always see eye to eye. Same here. They're fairly balanced people, but I'm also glad to be my own person. Agreed, Travis K. Me too. Gregory Pierce says, I think it'd be less spontaneous to try things that are different or unique. I'm not saying my parents play life safe, but my friends have always been the ones who convinced me to drive to that cool new place, try that cool new food, or inspire a cool new person.
Okay, yeah, same here.
I would not be doing anything.
Right on.
My dad doesn't
you.
Like going past freaking the one street that we live on. Like, he doesn't like doing stuff at all. Even though we loved baseball growing up, and I was like, hey, dad, let's go drive, you know,
Go watch him. Yeah, to Houston, watch his Astros. He's like, no, I can just sit down and watch it here. The food's cheap. Like, he's that person. So I would never do anything.
All my family hates crowds. They hate the public. They don't go. They don't like going to concerts. They don't like going to movies. They just want to stay at home. And yeah, I couldn't do
nice,
that.
Nice. Okay.
I need to be free, man.
Yeah. Judson Cooper says, more of an alcoholic? Question mark. Honestly, I doubt I'd be much different. Yeah. I doubt I'd be much different at all. Maybe a little less ambitious. Maybe a sociopath. Maybe more of an outdoorsman. I don't know. A lot of questions.
That's what Skyrim's for.
What? Travis K says, Joy McCormick replied to my share and simply said, Catholic.
Joy McCormick be the wicked Catholic.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to use Facebook.
And RT Bree, Ryan Timothy Bryce says, someone with zero self-confidence and drowning in self-loathing.
And I'm glad you're not that, Ryan, because it's your fucking birthday, man. It's my birthday.
No, it's his birthday. Your birthday was 2 days ago.
If I lived in a small apartment in Manhattan and had no access to the outside world, it would just be my birthday. So, man.
I know all these kids just didn't grow up to be old boy.
No shit. Awesome.
They just all, like they learn how to beat ass inside because they lived inside this. And they only knew the taste of one dumpling. Type of dumpling, yeah.
Yeah, but Old Boy actually had a taste of the outside world.
Yeah, because he had TV.
Yeah, no, but before he became that, he had like a life.
I guess it's true.
So he was deprived of everything he knew and loved, so he had a purpose for vengeance.
TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
though. TV, yes.
So, yeah, it wouldn't work.
So, yeah, man. The Wolf Pack.
Yeah.
Look it up. Watch it. Kids that I love. They need to experience life, even though I am petrified for them.
Because the outside world is terrifying.
It's terrible, terrifying. There's people going ground beefing, right? There's hypothetical situations happening all around them. And I would love to keep them in a bubble, in my house, safe, with just a collection of horror flicks and Tarantino movies. But they deserve to learn and live life. So if you're a parent and you're not letting your kids live life, man, fuck you, man.
Are you saying fuck you to that guy?
Yeah, dude.
Well, now they're a success. They're a raging success. And everyone loves them.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. So if you have kids,
dude,
homeschool them. And, you know,
he obviously he let them express themselves creatively. He didn't object to that, I guess.
I would
have kind of very interesting. I'd like to see this film because I really like to see this
huge ploy by the dad to just have
them be famous.
Be famous.
It worked.
Good job, Mr. Angulo. I want to be like you one day. I'm pulling the kids out of school. Guys, it was nice knowing you.
No, you can still do the podcast. Your kids just.
Nah.
Why not?
Because, man, I need to be locked up.
No.
All there was pictures of him hanging out.
Your wife can be at home taking care of him. You can still do your life, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't.
And they're just not allowed.
Yeah, they're just not allowed to leave.
And I can just have fun.
You can do whatever you want.
Because it's interesting. He did that, but without tyranny, right?
It sounds very Arab, actually.
I don't know.
I guess it's the whole movie.
They kind of talked about his dad and what he said went, and they on the trailer kind of played him to be a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be scary to be.
Well, but my dad's scary.
No, but like ugly scary to where you wouldn't even think about rebelling. But then they did rebel, huh?
Exactly.
I don't know, guys. The Wolf Pack, man. Check it out.
Let's watch it.
Zach Galifianakis.
Whatever.
Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon. And the guy China from Wish. The comedy show.
And the guy from The Office.
Yeah. So parenting, man. Fuck it. Who cares?
Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
All right. So finally, in my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, we talk about stuff that is not funny. I'm talking about a study that was done by the University of Chicago Press Journals. And it comes out of the Journal of Consumer Research. And it's one of those things where there's two reasons why I chose this. When I was bringing up the topic, I talked about how Paul, our guest here, does not save pennies or does not
–
you're anti-penny.
Yeah.
So why? If you saw a penny, you would not pick it up to save money, right?
If you saw a penny on the ground that was next to me, it was because I threw it out of my hand and it didn't roll far
and
enough.
And why is that, Paul?
Pennies are worthless. They don't add up to anything.
How do you know they're worthless? What made you come to that conclusion real quick?
Wait, please.
There was that stupid test that everyone had that believed that if you saved up pennies for a year, you would end up with a lot of money. I saved up pennies. using back then, kids, actual physical currency, not an actual card. After a whole year, I ended up with exactly 50 cents. You know what you can buy with 50 cents? Not a goddamn thing worthwhile. I will throw those
50 cents, that's all in a year? I thought he had like 14 bucks.
No, it was less than
maybe
that.
Maybe that was just pennies. Maybe change
just
had 14
pennies
bucks.
Pennies alone was 50 cents, Larry.
You had 50 pennies.
I'm trying to think how much.
Yeah, I like change. And I'll save my pennies. But yeah, I got
a penny. We were looking for a penny earlier to just scratch off your card, and none of us had any change.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I got a piggy bank, and every time I open up the piggy bank and I look at it, but I never realize how long it saves. I always got about like 80 to 100 bucks in change.
I usually get about 35
in an actual piggy bank.
You know, it costs more to make a penny than a penny's worth.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that, Larry.
Did you guys know that?
You know, that brings me to the other thing about these studies that I always talk about. This is what the question they ask. And let me just see if you guys can answer this. Do consumers spend less if they think about the future? What do you think? Do you think that they'd spend less if they think about the future?
Depending on what demographic.
There's Americans, people.
What are they buying?
No, I think...
Here's the answer. Yes.
I was going to say, yes, it is, but that's the whole thing. No one – that's commonly – consumers don't think about the future,
exactly.
Which is why they spend more.
Well, so they did the study to where they had people look at
doomsday
stuff.
Doomsday preppers are thinking about the future and buying more. That's why I was saying that, because if you're really thinking about the future in a negative way, you're going to buy a bunch more shit because you're not going to be able to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's not too many doomsday preppers out there. So they did a study where they just had people go and buy stuff online, and then they did the study again telling them to think about the future, and obviously they spent less. It's a really simple study, and I'm like, okay, that's great.
Almost like, duh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a duh, one of those study. Things. There's lots of studies where I went through.
Those motherfuckers, they got a grant.
They spent these guys research.
They weren't busting goats. They're just goats.
They weren't asking monkeys. They weren't asking monkeys to choose different colored ice cubes. They weren't doing anything cool. All they were doing was like, oh, you think they'll – spend less? People will spend less if they think about the future? I'm like, yeah.
What they did is they gave someone $100 on their account, said buy whatever you want, and then they had their mom or wife come in and go, yeah, but do you really need that? That's what happened.
So, it's a simple study. I didn't even post the link, really. Or we didn't post the link.
That's my bad.
But it just brought me up to I thought it'd be funny, especially since Paul here doesn't save change at all.
Here's the thing. Not only does he not save pennies, he throws them away. Actively
does not save his money.
And I respect that.
But you haven't done that in years, right?
Because no one uses change anymore.
Yeah.
Who's thinking about the future there?
Pardon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Progressive.
Progressive thinking.
Yeah.
Two times I've done that, I had the best reactions ever. Once when I was going to tech school up in Pittsburgh, I was walking. Because up there, everyone like walks on the sidewalk, and especially in downtown. You want to talk about hilarious? I had pennies in my hand one time, and I just happened to chunk them. 16 people reached for their ass pocket and spun around and looked desperately for what hit the ground.
As if their change fell out of their pocket. Yeah.
I had like an epiphany. I was like, wow, that was just – or a surreal. That was by far. And the other time, Kayla was actually very – she's been very, very, very frugal. And there's one time she found out about my penny thing, and I actually was about to throw pennies. She physically accosted my hand and did not want me to throw the pennies out of my hand.
Yeah.
She wanted me to give her to her. I gave her 5 of the 7 pennies in my hand, and the other 2 I threw. She ran after those 2 pennies to get them.
That's what I'm saying. Because I think
– I didn't know Kayla was Jewish.
Oh, my God.
Frugal. Oh.
No, but I could see, like, I could definitely see, like, especially older generations doing that exact same thing. Like,
yeah, a nickel.
Exactly.
Get you to Pittsburgh.
I get you a loaf of bread.
So that brings me to my topic question. Well, I just see how you guys will interpret this.
Fuck pennies. I think it's.
Yeah.
Is what are you saving money for?
None of your goddamn business.
No, I want to know, like, even if it's a short term, long term, are you saving money? And if so, what are you saving it for? And Larry, what am I saving money for?
I don't know.
What do you think I'm saving money for, Larry?
I don't know. Traveling the world.
Yeah.
Traveling the world. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, mine comes down to just, I'm saving money for traveling, obviously.
Obviously.
I will say this. I have saved money for something, and I've always kept it in the back of my brain. And it's funny; it just now came up recently. Is to get my 1968 Cadillac,
please,
fixed and running. Now, here's the thing: I've been trying
to get you to do that for years.
Yeah, for years I've been needing to. I haven't had the time. I have had the money, but I don't really have the time or the resources to get this done. I don't have the space. It's been sitting in my parents' garage for years.
You gotta wait till your libido dies.
No. So, speaking of which, my oldest brother, Ryan, he's older. He's got his kids and he wants to take it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yes, I will give you, I literally told him, I'll give you money to take it. And he's like, no, I don't want to. But no, in the back of my brain, I've always had this money saved up, thinking like some either just to take it off my dad's hand because he keeps saying, like, oh, another year. But if he finally eventually gave me an ultimatum, I'd have that money just like, all right, tow it to someplace. Or even if your dad wanted to,
keep it.
So yeah, that is going to be one thing. And I want to give him that money and go like, here's the money, fix it, do what you want with it, as long as I can borrow it from time to time and just like take it out for a drive once or twice. Yeah, essentially, you know. So that is definitely one of the things that I've been saving my money for. Yeah.
For hypothetical drives in your caddy.
No, what do you mean?
Regan doesn't need to do hypothetical anything. He can go out to do it.
Because it's not happening. So hypothetically.
Why is it not happening?
If your brother fixed it up, then you would. You're hypothetically saving
okay. Yeah,
money.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening.
We had the conversation on 4th of July though.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's gonna be so cool.
So
sorry, I wrecked it, man.
You didn't wreck it. It's an old car. Anyway, I need some TLC. Nice. So anyway, yeah, 1968 Cadillac convertible.
My answer is, man, like my money is my business, dude. And you're going to ask me, what am I saving money? How do you know I'm saving money? I'm living check to motherfucking check, dude.
Somehow I don't that immensely.
No. Anything.
My nest egg is small.
A quail.
And yes, it is.
Well,
and I save my comedy money.
Okay.
For three things. Mikey's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Gunner's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And merchandise.
Oh, not Andy's birthday party? you'll use your own. That's not saving money. That's in current.
I'll do like a money. Show and be like.
Four. All right. I'll spend that money on Andy.
Yeah. But like the kids, you know, you got to do the water slides. And
yeah, you
got to
do
fucking
the
whole thing.
If anything.
With Andy's, it's just like a date. Like, you know, I have to save.
True, and
then my birthday.
And then
you end
up watching Netflixing. You end up watching Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
just trying to watch it for like the fourth time.
Just go home and fucking finger my wife to an Evil Dead remake.
Good God.
Perfect evening.
And that's what happened, I'm pretty sure, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God no.
Was it Andy's birthday or y'all's anniversary?
That was your birthday.
Yeah, it sounds like your birthday.
Nobody fingers their wife.
Well, you know.
Ever.
Come on, man.
Why would you finger your wife? You could
what if
fucking
you're all
stick
about
your
it?
Dick
what
in.
What, exactly. What if you're all
who's about into fingering?
Me.
So,
yeah,
you want some people hypothetically?
Yeah. Who's hypothetically talked about fingering?
Hypothetically,
more than
some people
else?
Are really into fingering.
It
They're all
so
about it.
So funny. The word fingering is so funny. Hey, because you know how crass it is to say, like, yeah, I didn't fuck some chick while watching Evil Dead. That's crass. But you go, yeah, I fingered some chick to Evil Dead. That's hilarious.
And true.
Well, yeah. Anyway. Also, the whole, you know, fingering somebody in the terms of
my wife,
a crime on them. Yeah.
Fingered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Right. No, you're not. Okay.
So, yeah. And if anything.
Fingering's fun.
This question.
Jeez. No, it's not. Fun for who? She's getting
all
off to it.
All parties involved.
When I'd never felt a vagina before, fingering was the best.
It's always fun the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even no, dude, I wouldn't. I would imagine.
No, but let's say.
Would I finger a stranger? Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
What the fuck? What happened?
What?
How did we get?
No, because we're talking like. I don't have any outside access, you know, like you're like, oh, the first time. I haven't had a first time in like 17 years. So like, that's why fingering and hand jobs are just fucking not obsolete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like a floppy disk to you. That's a zip drive. Yeah.
That's like, what the fuck do I need that for? Hey, baby, want a hand job? No, I don't.
So,
I don't.
What about if she cut you off? What about if she cut you off for a year?
I'd fucking jerk off to porn.
But and then after she was like, "Can I give you a hand?" You still wouldn't want it?
Mm. You gotta work your way up, man. Yeah, you gotta work your way up.
See?
But yeah, but that's the same thing that what I was saying.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I know.
Cut off for a year. But if I was cut off for a year, no, I'd be divorced.
Yeah, I don't hand jobs.
I'd be smashing ass and saving gas.
I don't care about hand jobs. I don't care about them.
Hand jobs from a stranger, yes. Yeah, you know what? That's the name of my autobiography. Hand jobs from a stranger. The autobiography of Larry Garza.
The second would be fingering a stranger.
Yeah.
But it'd be about like the crime fingering.
No.
Oh, right.
So yeah, man, I'm saving up for my children's birthday party.
Yeah, good. And like I said, if anything, this question will make you save more because it's putting that thought into your head.
Yeah, it's already fucking paid for.
Yeah.
Jess?
Yeah, actually, this is a good question because this is actually just comes into recent times. And not to go into full detail of my personal matters, but we are looking into saving for the future in terms of actually talking to an outside party where they can go, maybe you should do this. Give me info. Okay. Maybe you should do this kind of thing.
A financial advisor?
Financial advisor. Yeah, exactly. because Melissa and I, we have this wonderful understanding of each other that our lineage stops with us because we are our own children.
You're the last in the Mohican.
We're the last. There's not going to be anybody 50 years from now ancestry.com-ing us.
Yeah.
It ends.
Fuck,
yeah.
Dude. Wow.
Yeah. That means like we're going to be in somebody else's. Well, they were friends with Lisa and Jess, but there's no. But that's it. Unfortunately, it would have to be brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Well,
your uncle was that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So we have come to the almost immediately when in our relationship was like, you know what? Like we're our own children. We're selfish that way.
Yeah.
We're making the very selfish decision to not have that on our plate. But
selfish but correct decision.
It's I like it a lot.
They'll break all your toys, man.
Yeah, but with that said, when you don't have any children, you don't have anyone to wipe your ass when you're old. So we need to actually think about making
somebody
that nest
to wipe your butt when you're
to
old.
Wipe our butt when we're old.
Yeah, for
and
hospice.
And when do we want to stop
wiping your own
like,
butt?
Working to
who's
going to
get your money? Shenmue 3?
Oh, yeah. No, hospice care services.
No, but they're, I know them. They're going to save a shitload of money because they're dinks.
Yeah, they're dinks.
Yeah.
So they're going to have enough to pay for it. So what about the heirs?
No, you know.
Dude, they're going to be buying heroin, going to Hawaii, freaking going to Japan.
Our plan is, we read about this, and this is, like, I don't know if this is a real thing. It sounds like a very, like, urban legend type of thing.
You're
going
to get your consciousness put into Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that would be sweet. Yeah, that would be sweet, is to put my conscious, because hopefully that technology would be there and it'd be the empty shell to be like
but
the
then,
vision.
But then you'd have kids.
It'd be like the vision, but the vision would be sitting on his ass playing Shenmue 3. So, no, the thing we read about is that old people buying using the last of their money to buy continuous cruise tickets to their. They're constantly on cruise ships.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So when
that's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah.
Hawaii, Japan.
That's the game plan where we're just, and then when we'll write an agreement, it'll be in our will. Oh, they were found dead.
Awesome.
And whatever. Food for the sharks and the money for whatever. Rodrigo's got a nice tip because he gives good massages, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And maybe give something a little bit to like the children of my siblings or our best friends. Give some to Mikey and Gunner, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. You know?
Dude, this is a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. Because all of the other shit, like all the toys and the figures and the games, that'll be long sold before.
What?
Like, I'm not going to take that to the grave with me. When it gets down the road, I'm going to make that decision. This has got to go. This is going to go toward the
cruise. I'm literally opening your toys over your dead body.
That's the decision. But that's going to happen in the next 5-6 years.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Disagree. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. So cruise ships, the cruise ships to have our asses wiped. And then when it's just fucking
nice.
Dead time, just feed me the sharks.
You and Lisa's your little the person that you have that lives in your closet that you pee on.
Yeah,
are they?
They'll get a stipend. They're already getting a stipend.
Well, they're gonna have Stockholm syndrome anyway, so they're gonna be like, no, I don't want to leave.
They're gonna be with us in the boat, and then if I die before she does, she's gonna offer. She's just gonna jump in the pool. She's like, I'm done, and she's gonna throw herself in the pool. Me, on the other hand, I'm gonna get my fuck on. You know, she's okay with that if I can.
Ground beefer.
Yeah, a ground beefer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That's the destiny we have chosen for each other. Yeah, yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Paul, who are you ground beefing?
That's not the question.
With your money.
With my money.
With your saved money from your pennies that you've been saving for the past 20 years.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's weird for me to answer this because whenever I was working at Walmart for 5 miserable years, everything was just save. And back then, I was in a very, very bad, unusual relationship. And at the time, it was just save to just get by and help. Now I'm in a better job with a better girlfriend. And it's strange how people influence your life and change your outlook on things. My girlfriend, this is kind of an odd little turn, but my girlfriend's, at the time, sister was trying to change herself and dedicated countless monies to her surgery to become a guy.
Ooh.
Nothing but this mattered to her.
Yeah.
Turns out she ended up getting ovarian cancer and died. Whoa. With over $12,000 to her name. Never spent a penny of that and never named a successor, never named a beneficiary, lost it all.
Where does it go when you don't name a...
The bank. That's it.
Really?
The bank gets everything.
Oh, damn. Dude, that's so...
So I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm wasting a lot of time saving up for two things in particular that I have had absolutely no luck in the world getting. So I said, okay, I'm going to put those two things on the back burner instead of putting them in the forefront, and I'm going to bring forward everything else I couldn't get because I was like, no, these are more important. Well, now I'm realizing, no, those are not more important. Because what if something tragic happens now and I don't get that? I'm going to be miserable with money and nothing. So I was like, okay. And I did. I actually brought a new list out and I was like, I'm going to buy all these to make myself more comfortable. And then when I get these set up, I'm going to move back to those. And I've been a lot happier since, but I still save a lot, but it's more towards... Okay, what could be the next thing that I need to get or should get as far as being a happier person in life rather than saying I'm going to save this up to become a happier person in life and maybe not actually get to there. So that's my little weird twist on the whole thing as far as what I should save for.
What are they?
What?
What were those two things that you put on the back burner?
Oh, the main things were a car, which for 7 years I never ever had luck getting. So I figured, fuck it, I'm going to get the next 4 things that I should have gotten, but I didn't get. And the last thing was basically prepping for like an actual like life, like with kids and children and everything. I was like, that's not happening anytime soon. So that goes ultimately on the back burner.
So the 4 things that you did get are what?
A new mattress.
Yeah. Nice. That's a great and goddamn investment.
Yeah. Need a sturdy one, dude.
It was.
God damn it, man.
Reference to the last podcast.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you spend every night on it.
Yeah, a new like TV and couch.
Yeah, the other sturdy one.
Yeah,
That doesn't work on that. Yeah.
Fucks hard.
Actually, yeah. All right. And then
if you could sit, you could fuck on it.
Is that the rule?
That's Bob's rule.
Is that what Bob's mattress tells you? Look, if you can sit on it, you can fuck on it.
Ew, Bob! Come fuck me on my mattress.
It's a reference to a local commercial, guys. Look it up.
Billy Bob's Beds. Well, yeah, then new, like, game system, and then the last thing is the washer and dryer. So, yeah, there were practical things that I haven't actually got.
Absolutely.
But would make my life infinitely easier.
Yeah.
And, like, more fun to live. So, I've gotten 3 out of the 4.
But
that's exactly what you're focused on the now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There's a level of that. There's a level of balance where...
I know a guy selling a Cadillac.
Good job, Larry.
Imagine Paulo and fucking
Gannon. They can't Susie Orman everybody. You know, that's the thing. Like,
that's a verb. You can't Susie Orman everybody.
Does that mean fingering?
No.
She's a lover.
But yeah, I'm done trying to save so much for something I don't know could or could not happen.
Yeah.
He could fucking die any day, man.
Yeah.
Might as well go out fucking.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Facebook answers. Jacob James Garcia says Eurotrip.
Eurotrip.
Because that's how it ended. Go out fucking.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Facebook says.
Yeah. I think everyone could agree if we're going to go out.
Yeah.
Go out fucking.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Jacob James Garcia. Tatalia it?
Yeah. Tatalia it. There's a lot of verbing names. Yeah. Verbiage.
What happened to him? Oh, he got Tatalia. Oh, he died fucking some chicks.
Nice.
Yeah, Tatalia's a pimp.
JJG, Jacob James Garcia says, Eurotrip. Brandy Dunnigan says, you're right. What am I saving money for? We're all going to die anyways. What's the point?
Yeah. There you go. That's it.
Fucking
yeah.
Handy tug again.
Gabriel Diaz says, to pay my mountain of student loans for undergraduate and my tuition for graduate school. Ugh, that sucks.
Yeah. It wasn't worth it.
Nope. Justin Wilcoxon says, I want to swim in money like Scrooge McDuck. I saved up for a swimming pool full of quarters and broke my wrist and my nose when I dove in.
I think that's a Mythbusters thing. Yeah. I think they proved you can't die with money.
No, he says, I'm thinking it has to be gold coins in order to swim. Does anyone know if that science is sound?
I think that's a Mythbusters episode.
Maybe he's right, though, because gold is softer.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should try it.
I need to dive in some diamonds.
John Flores says, I'm sorry, I'm a recent college graduate with student debt. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah,
oh, God, don't go to college.
Nope.
Alfred Perez says, a Wacom Cintiq and Manga Studio Pro so I can make comics professionally in digital format. All right. Andrew Thomas says, paying off college loans.
Man.
And moving if I wasn't unemployed. Ooh, that's tough to say. Gregory Pierce says, I'm trying to be a responsible married adult and save my money for a house and planning for the expenses of kids. Also, any nostalgic items I can get my hand on. Priorities. George Anthony says he's saving money for laundry.
Look at you, rich.
Travis K says, right now we're saving money for the arrival of our daughter in September. Yeah, I heard they're not cheap to raise if you aim to do it right.
Yeah, well, but if you look
just at the, lock them in a room.
Lock them in a room and let them watch Batman Begins for that's all they
They'll
eat.
Be fine. They'll be movie stars.
Yeah.
Justin Cooper says, if I could save money, it would be for a car. That's pretty big if, though.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy Medina says, save. Google save. Nope. So, just doesn't even know how to. And James Wells says, he's saving up for some common sense, spelled C-E-N-T-S.
No, you're right. Thanks a lot for ruining our thread, James Wells.
He's
James
fine. Wells. He's a good job, James Wells.
James Wells. That well's run dry.
Yeah.
Oh.
All the wells that ends wells.
Snappadoches.
I like it, dude.
So, saving money. That's not funny.
Not funny.
Not funny. It's Italian, though.
Yeah.
It's Italian. That'll work.
I'm high with that.
Yeah. So, Paul.
Yes.
It's the second time on the podcast. You have no social media ties. You're not an entertainer. Professional entertainer, but you entertain me constantly. Your words of wisdom I have taken with me and put towards my everyday life. Because when I see him big,
you slap him down.
I'll slap him down, thanks to you. You put things in perspective. Fuck pennies. You know what I mean? You have a wonderful outlook on life, though dark, very practical. And I am a practical person, and I can respect that. And as a practical person, and as someone who has been on the podcast previously, you know public access is an educational program. So we asked our guests and we asked ourselves, what did we come to know? What made you come to learn something new about yourself? Going ground beefing, making sure that this wrinkle in your brain is there. So you think about that, Paul, for a second, and we'll roundtable this. Jess, what made you come to know?
I don't give a shit. I love finger play. I'm not. I didn't know that this was like frowned
straight
upon.
Up.
I didn't know this was
straight
frowned
up.
Upon. Like
straight.
Who likes fingering? I do. It's fucking cool, man. I'll finger before I take the handy. Fuck that. I just give a shit. So
before I take the
because
handy,
to me,
just casserole.
Because I like
that's
that.
That's
the answer to the question.
That's on your gravestone, dude. Yeah. That is going on for a
finger before I take the handy.
Fuck that.
I like that. Who likes that? I do. I was actually surprised and almost offended that somebody like, oh, who would do that? Ugh, like if I'm like some subhuman.
Larry hates fingering.
No, I'm not saying you're subhuman for doing it, man. Finger all day, man.
Goddamn, yeah.
You feel that sea urchin underwater and question what the fuck it is. You do that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, this could be trash or a...
you go noodle it for that catfish.
Yeah, exactly, man.
I'm a strong swimmer.
What I came to know is that Jess loves fingering.
That just changed mine.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Well, fuck, dude, I did not know Jess liked fingering that much.
I didn't think that was the thing that people didn't like. This is why I'm saying it. I'm
man, genuinely don't get any fucking pleasure out of fingering the chick.
I do. This is so bizarre to me. Like who wouldn't be down? Like that just sounds.
You're a
just,
very selfish lover.
That's
Larry.
Weird. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're
a very selfish lover.
It's a shared experience, and that's part of the experience.
It's a shared experience.
Everybody's having a party.
You can't share.
Would you like a cocktail? Would you like a little sandwich? Everybody wants to get something. I'm great at fingering.
Just like Eddie Murphy is a great stand-up. I quit while I was ahead. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be
George Carlin. I'm gonna be the top of my game. I'm a George Carlin.
And you're assuming your audience doesn't want you doing stand up anymore.
That's a very good point. But let me tell you what.
See, that's the difference.
I got my Arsenio Hall right here. Yeah. This is the fucking my. I call it my misdirectomy.
He's holding up his middle finger, audience.
This is misdirectomy. This will fucking cause a chick to not have kids anymore with this thing. Now picture this, thicker with a ribbed head. That is a lot better than misdirectomy.
Yeah, but
big fat cock.
But there's a reason that we have fingers is because they can be very precise in what they do.
Okay.
Use all the tools.
And you can bend and do.
You gotta use all the tools.
Are you
disposable?
But are you counting?
See, you're assuming that that's all Jess does.
No, what I'm saying is, are you counting flicking the bean while you're boning? Because that doesn't count as fingering.
He's just talking about
the hand play.
The hand play, the warm up, the build. I can go to sleep just after that. I'm like, oh, I'm done. You know,
what?
Go to bed.
Really?
Yeah. If so, I'm fine. And it's not like if that happens, I'm just saying I'm fine with that. I can go to bed. I can go back to playing.
He's a very selfless lover.
You're the type
I can go back to be playing Batman.
You can go back to searching rooms 37 times for 4 hours.
Yeah.
That is why he can go home with blue balls. Just like Paul had fucking talked about fetishes. It's like I am used to not coming. So it's just like, yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I don't have to have dinner. Let's just hang out in a restaurant. You're in a restaurant!
Mom, but you're making it sound like that's all I do. I'm just saying that's if it's hypothetically, I would be okay with that. But usually times... They get the whole spread, you know. I don't just need, you know.
I see where you're coming from.
I am surprised that would be something
you know
that you frown upon.
I've come to know that Larry's a very selfish lover.
Yeah, that's what.
I've come to know that Larry's just about if he ain't coming, he's not very happy.
If I ain't coming, I'm going.
There you go. That'll be on your tombstone.
That's in your headstone. It's on your tombstone and pepperoni.
Yeah, on pizza. If I'm not coming on pizza, I'm going.
And on pizza. That's what I've come to know.
I'm not selfish, man.
They're very selfish.
No, I think that's conversation. All signs
point to that. It's proven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very generous.
Just pass up the handy.
Yeah.
To finger. That's the
most. I'm a team player. Yes. That's what I am.
Well, with a stranger, yeah. If all I could do is just fucking, I'll let you eat me out.
Oh, thank you.
Like, yeah, that's fine. And then if that's all I get, sure. You know? Yeah, I'd like a sandwich, but if I'm starving and someone gives me a piece of bread, I'm gonna fucking eat the piece of bread. I'm gonna eat it out.
All right.
Paul, after all this fucking...
What did you come to know?
Go for it. We said some pretty, possibly regrettable shit right now.
I regret shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a fuck. I'll finger some shit. I don't give a shit.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm glad this conversation is at the end of the podcast.
What's that movie where Scott Pilgrim fucking... That was all about that. It was satisfaction. All he did was finger that chick.
Oh, what's her name?
Yeah.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah,
too, right?
I was like, that's...
Oh, yeah!
I was like, you know what? That's nice. I'm down with that in there.
Yeah, first time. First time, yes.
First time, absolutely.
That song's going to be on future mixtapes. I guarantee
it. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yes, yes, exactly. All right.
What was that movie that Scott Pilgrim fingered Thor's friend?
Fingered Thor's friend? Thor's girlfriend's friend? Thor's
girlfriend's friend. What's that one movie where Scott Pilgrim fingered two chicks at a pizza place?
Two poor chicks. What was that movie where Scott Pilgrim fingered 40-year-old virgin stepdaughter?
What was that that movie where Scott Pilgrim fingers Kat Dennings?
Oh, no!
I got some problems.
All right, wait. Do we get an answer?
I'm dying here.
Jazz is dying. And if he dies tonight, on his tombstone,
we put it on there. I lived a happy life, no regrets. Don't give a fuck.
I'm passing up the
All I want is my hand cut off and left with Lisa, so she can do with it as she wishes.
Oh wow.
Let's see.
Oh, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that over the years, I always enjoy the moments I've had with you guys. Even when it comes to anything else. And I'll have you know that when it comes to fucking fat chicks, there's only fingering, damn it.
Wow. You gotta find the wet spot. I get it. It's required.
You gotta explore a little.
Dick to fat ratio will not be denied.
Dick to fat ratio is a very important equation. Yes.
And when everything else fails, there's fingering.
There you go.
All right. So, guys, you know, you don't need headphones at work when you listen to our podcast. It's totally safe for work. Jess, what do we got going on?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. Your place, your one-stop shop for everything nerdy and dorky. So thanks for letting us be one of you. You're one of us. We appreciate that. So if you like our episodes or shows, and you maybe this is the first time you've spent time with us, you can get older episodes of Public Access at comediaagogo.com. There's other cool stuff like there, like older episodes. Our movie Blood Cousins, which is pretty awesome. And our comedy special, Big Red and Barbacoa. And, be a part of our Happy Campers Facebook page where you can answer our topics weekly every time we record at ComediaGogo on Twitter, hashtag Public Access. Thank you so much for listening. I'm crying because of how fucking ridiculous this is.
And we thank you always for listening. And honestly, Ryan Timothy Brace, you're one of our biggest fans, and thank you very
much.
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah. Shout out to Travis K. for being super fanboy talking to me today and referencing podcasts by their number.
Yeah.
Which is
marking, almost timelining the show, which I highly appreciate.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, my favorite quote from 101, and I'm like, motherfucker. So shout out to that, Travis. Don't be embarrassed about it. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, don't ease off the corn.
And as always, guys, every Friday, come out to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club located inside the Mineshaft Saloon, located inside the Magic Time Machine in San Antonio, Texas. Whether you're from San Antonio, Texas, the United States, or Canada, if you're ever in the area on a Friday night, you know where to go. You'll probably find us. Stay tuned for the Comedy Butchers Comedy Sideshow coming this fall to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club. And if you are a performer, a sideshow performer, comedian, musicians, anything weird, please let us know. Stay tuned for some really, really cool film projects that we're going to have coming up where we will need extras. So if you would like to be an extra in an upcoming Comedia A Go-Go project, please message us on Facebook individually or at our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Paulo, you bring out the best in us. I love hanging out with you. I'm glad that we were able to hang out and capture it so we can remember this for years and years to come.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. Please continue to listen and tell people about us. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And he'll finger you later.
Yes. Yes, he will.
And he won't even ask for anything after.
No, it's on the house.
Cut.